Nora had done the same things for new mothers time and again, and now she was shocked to find she felt resentment rather than appreciation. The interruptions, the burden of thank you notes, and she didn't care about the food. She didn't even want it. Bree was calling. Nora went downstairs without bothering to put on lipstick or even brush her hair. Her feet were still bare.
"I look awful,"
she announced, defiant, entering the room.
"Oh, no,"
Ruth Starling said, patting the sofa by her side, though Nora noted with a strange satisfaction the glances being exchanged among the others. She sat down obediently, crossing her legs at the ankles and folding her hands in her lap like she'd done in school as a little girl.
"Paul's just gone to sleep," she said. "I won't wake him up."
There was anger in her voice, real aggression.
"It's all right, my dear,"
Ruth said. She was nearly 70, with fine white hair, carefully styled. Her husband of 50 years had passed away the year before. What had it cost her, Nora wondered? What did it cost her now to maintain her appearance, her cheerful demeanor?
"You've been through such a lot," Ruth said.
Nora felt her daughter again, a presence just beyond sight, and quelled a sudden urge to run upstairs and check on Paul. "I'm going crazy," she thought, and stared at the floor.
"How about some tea?"
Bree asked, with cheery unease. Before anyone could answer, she disappeared into the kitchen. Nora did her best to concentrate on the conversation. Cotton or batiste for the hospital pillows, what people thought about the new pastor, whether or not they should donate blankets to the Salvation Army. Then Sally announced that Kay Marshall's baby, a girl, had been delivered the night before.
7 pounds exactly, Sally said. Kay looks wonderful. The baby's beautiful. They named her Elizabeth after her grandmother. They say it was an easy labor.
There was a silence then, as everyone realized what had happened. Nora felt as if the quiet were expanding from someplace in the center of her, rippling through the room. Sally looked up, flushed pink with regret.
"Oh," she said. "Oh, Nora, I'm so sorry."
Nora wanted to speak and set things in motion again. The right words hovered in her mind, but she could not seem to find her voice. She sat silently, and the silence became a lake, an ocean where they all might drown.
"Well," Ruth said briskly at last, "bless your heart, Nora, you must be exhausted."
She pulled out a bulky package, brightly wrapped, with a cluster of narrow ribbons in tight curls.
"We took up a collection thinking you probably had all the diaper pins a mother could want."
The women laughed, relieved. Nora smiled too and opened the box, tearing the paper. A jumper chair with a metal frame and a cloth seat, similar to one she had once admired at a friend's house.